Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Now, we began to study the life of Joseph. I believe there are many lessons that we can learn from this life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Very, very, very powerful. Now, we began talking about when Joseph, just before he got born, we noticed that his mother was barren. She couldn't have children. And as a result, she got to a point where she became desperate for children. Do you remember? And we began to study the subject of desperation, that it is dangerous to become desperate. When you enter the realm of desperation, you have entered the realm of mistakes. The minute you start being desperate is the minute you start making mistakes. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So we spoke about that. Then last week I began to share about how God leads. And we began to study how God was leading Joseph. Now, I can tell you, not all of us are prophets. Do you understand?
Amen.
And not all of us have the grace to see an angel who will come and stand before you and tell you you must do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Very few people have such a grace. So, even though you do not have such a grace, it doesn't mean that God does not lead you. God leads you. And so we have to learn the different ways and manners in which God leads us. Even though we may not experience, some people actually, Jesus can come and appear to them and say, I want you to do 1, 2, 3. Jesus has never appeared to me in that way. I'm still praying. I'm asking him to appear. When Jesus appears to you and talks to you direct, there's an authority that comes with it. Hallelujah. So not all of us are privileged to experience those types of experiences. But you see, where God is concerned, whether an angel appears, or whether Jesus himself appears, or whether he speaks to you through what we call the inner witness, you hear that soft voice in your spirit leading you. That leading is as important as though Jesus has appeared in front of you. So we mustn't try to, scale them or put levels to it. All are important. Am I in church? I went to the wrong one. All right. So we began to discuss that last week. And I showed you clearly through scripture how that even though it seemed as though God was not in Joseph's life, I mean, imagine your brothers hating you. Your own brothers, not like someone, people you don't know. Your flesh and blood.
Amen.
Conspiring against you to kill you. And then they put you in a hole. And then when they're about to kill you, they rather change their mind and say, let's rather sell him. We won't profit anything by killing him. Imagine your own flesh and blood selling you. That's why I hate witches. May God kill every witch in the name of Jesus. May any witch in your family not see tomorrow. May they sleep their last sleep tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. I despise witches. Why? Because these people, during the day, they smile with you. We think our rata man. But at night, they are bewitching you and destroying you. Hey. So Joseph's own family was the one that's killing him. Not neighbors. Own family. If your family is killing you, may God deliver you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
May you bury those who want to bury you.
Amen.
May you bury those who are conspiring against your life.
Amen.
In the mighty name of the Son of the Living God.
Amen.
So from there, you see, they sell him into Egypt and they sold him to a guy called Potiphar, which was important. Because Potiphar was the officer of the guard in the palace of Pharaoh. And to cut the long story short, Potiphar, when Joseph was accused of rape, Potiphar sent Joseph to a particular prison, not the normal prison. The Bible specifically says to the king's prison. And the king's prison are only prisoners who have offended the king go there. So if you offend me, Kolambanja, and nobody, you go to the normal prison. But if you offend the king, you go to the king's prison. Because God had planned for Joseph to eventually end up in the palace, he had to be sold to Potiphar, who had the power to send him to the specific prison. So I don't want to re-preach last week's message, but you could see that God was leading. God was guiding. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, when God leads us the way that he led Joseph, it is scary because you don't see an angel coming to say, next week, you will go into a pit. And then in 5 months, you will go to prison. So when you're in prison, it feels like God has left you. It feels like God has forsaken you. But you are in his will, you are in his plan. So today I want to show you that even though God is leading you like this, how can you know that it's God or whether your life has now gone astray? Should I be worried or is God still in control? Is this something you want to know? All right. I'll only preach it if your amen is a proper amen. Glory be to God. Come with me to Genesis 39 and verse 1. Genesis 39, we will take it from verse 1. The book of Genesis, the 39th chapter, and the first from the first verse. If you are there, you can start reading, sister.
Genesis chapter 39 from verse 1. Mm-hmm. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. Mm-hmm. The Lord was with Joseph.
What verse is that?
Verse 2.
The Lord was what? Is it in your Bible?
Amen.
The Lord was with Joseph. Now that's a key. That is a signal that you can know that even though your life is scrambled, even though things are not going the way that you want them to go, amen, even though you have not arrived where you want to arrive, amen, and it seems like it's taking forever to arrive, one signal, one key that you can see that God is still in control is that scripture. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Now, when I say that, the first thing you must ask me is, Pastor, how can I know that God is with me? I can say he's with Joseph, but how can I know that he is with me? You want to know? Do you know that it is more dependent on you than it is dependent on God, whether God is with you or not? God has played his part. He sent his only begotten son to come and die for you and me, that when you have faith in him, you should not perish, but have everlasting life. And before Jesus went back to heaven, he said to us, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you alone. I will send another comforter who will be with you forever. So from God's perspective, it's already done. He is with you. The problem is us. Hallelujah. One time, some years ago, I used to read the book of Exodus. And every time I read that book, I'll end up in tears. Because I was super jealous of the relationship that Moses had with God. It's the best thing I've ever seen. I mean, Moses Kingsley was so confident in his relationship with God that one day God said to him, leave me alone, I want to be angry. May we be so close to God that he even tells us when he's angry. He said, I want my anger to burn. Then he said to him, I'm going to kill all these people that you've led out of Egypt. Now listen to God's language. He said, the people that you have led out. It doesn't say the people that I led out. And God said to Moses, and Moses said to God, calm down. Look at the relationship. He said, calm down. He said, what will people say when you do such things that you are talking about? Remember you said to Abraham, and you said to Isaac, and you said to Jacob. Now, if you kill these people, the people are going to say that you couldn't lead them, you couldn't fulfill your promises. The Bible says that, and God repented. And God repented. Said, okay, you are right. I'm sorry. Every time I watch that, I say, God, I long for this. My tears would always come out when the Bible says that when Moses came out after his 40-day and 40-night fast, that his face was shining with the glory of God. And the Bible says he wist not, in the King James it says, he wist not that his face did shine. In other words, he did not know that his face was emanating the glory of God. When people saw the glory, they ran away. Can you see how I'm quoting this thing? Just because I've read it so much and I've cried so many tears. Asking God for it. And then a couple of months ago, I don't know whether it's this year or late last year, I was studying the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. The Holy Spirit said to me, what you've been asking for, you already have. I said, eh? You mean my face can shine the way that Moses' face shined? He said, yes, and you've already got it. But how much it shines is dependent on you. I say, I understand. If you are putting your hands together for Jesus, put them well. So he said to me, the more you spend time with me, is the more your face will shine. So it's up to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. Now, come with me to the book of Romans chapter 8. We'll take it from verse 1. Ah, I forgot I have a reader. Romans chapter 8. And we'll take it from verse 1.
Romans chapter 8 verse 1. Mm-hmm. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desire. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, in their minds set on what the Spirit desire. Mm-hmm. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God.
Continue.
You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you a slave, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testify with our spirit that we are God's children.
Amen. So when you got born again, a great phenomenon took place. A wonderful thing happened. The Spirit of God entered you. And how you know that God is with you is by the presence of that Spirit in your life. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, are you born again? What is the answer? So if they said yes, or if they said amen, then God is with you. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, say, God is with you. Now, God help us. Even though he is with us, in Romans chapter 8, there's something Paul says that separates us. We are all God's children, but we are not the same. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ. So you are born again. All right, so we are still on the same page. We are all still the same. Who walk not after the flesh. So there is a group that is in Christ but are walking after the flesh. But walk after the Spirit. So there is another group that walks after the Spirit. Now the leading of God is dependent on whether on which side you are standing on. Are you standing on the side where you are walking after the flesh, or are you standing on the side where you are walking after the Spirit? If you are walking after the Spirit, then the Bible says that God will lead us. For they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Are you listening to me, somebody? So it all depends on which side you choose to be. Some Christian, one leg is on the flesh, the other leg is on the Spirit. It doesn't say those who are both walking after the flesh, you must choose. Tell a neighbor, say, you must choose. Choose my kettle. Are we still on the same page? You have to either walk after the flesh, or you have to either walk after the Spirit. There are Christians who are super carnal. There are Christians who are walking after the flesh. Now, you will notice with Joseph, my sister, if you can go to the part where that lady was trying to rape the man. I think it's the same chapter. Just look for the verse. Genesis 39. I want to show you Joseph's life. Quickly. But verse 7.
Now Joseph was well built and handsome.
Well built and handsome.
And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, My master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?
Yeah, that's the part I want. How can I do such a wicked thing? And based on what he's been saying, you will expect him to say, and sin against my master, who has been good to me. And sin against Potiphar, who has been good to me. But he says rather, and sin against God. So he didn't refuse the woman's advances based on the fact that he liked his master. He didn't refuse the woman's advances because he doesn't have feelings. He had feelings, but because of his relationship with God, he said, no, I can't do this thing. Are you in church? You've gone home. How can I do such a thing against God? So you can see that Joseph was a man who was after the spirit and not after the flesh. If he was after the flesh, the minute the lady looked at him with a certain eye, he would have said, I've noticed you are looking at me. Come visit me at midnight. He would have been very quick. He wasn't going to waste time. You're acting like you don't know what I'm talking about. All right. But because of his love for God, even though his life was scrambled up, even though he didn't know what was going on, when things start to go well, suddenly it goes down. When things start to go good, suddenly he still said, I can't do this to my God. A lot of people, when things don't go well for them, they run away from God. Not knowing that you just need to stick with him. And in the process of time, he will make your life beautiful. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Joseph kept pure, even though everything was not going well. He kept loving God. He kept walking after the Spirit, even though everything was not going well in his life. So the first thing you need to know is that, how will I know that even though things are not going well in my life, whether God is still with me, is by walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to go back to Romans chapter 8 and read verse 7 for me. And my message is going to be on verse 7 today. I'll give you a few points and then we are going to close.
Romans chapter 8 verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit.
Amen. Read verse 7 again.
The mind governed by the flesh
is... The mind governed. That word governed means control or led. By the flesh. What about that mind?
It's hostile to God.
It is hostile to God. My version says it is in enmity. The mind governed by the flesh, controlled by the flesh, is an enemy of God. Continue.
It does not submit to God's law.
It does not submit to God's law. And in the King James, it says, neither can it be. What does it say there?
No, it can do so.
So in other words, the mind that is governed by the flesh cannot be controlled or led by God's law. God's law here represents the Bible, the Word of God. So one way you can know whether you are being led by God or not is whether your life is governed by God's word.
Amen.
Is controlled by God's word. In the King James it says, is subject. That word subject means jurisdiction. It means that it's under the jurisdiction of the law. You know, to understand jurisdiction, if you have a problem in Mamelodi, or let me say, here in Mafias, do you understand? And you want to go to the police station and you go to Mamelodi. The police in Mamelodi are going to say, go to Silverton. Why? Because their jurisdiction ends somewhere. They can only police up to a certain point. That is the end of their jurisdiction. Then the Silverton police also have their own area where they can police. Are we on the same page?
Amen.
So in other words, when God's word is leading you and guiding you, it means that you are subject to God's word. It means that there is a territory with which you can operate. It means that you cannot go beyond that territory. And that territory is outside God's word. Put your hands together for Jesus. I'm saying something. Now, many Christians have a problem with this thing. You know, one of the things that I noticed recently as I was meditating on this, you know, children, it's like they are born with sin in them. Do you understand? David said, in sin was I conceived. Did my mother conceive me? I would notice when I'm watching my daughter, it was just me and her in the house, she will always gravitate to the thing that will hurt her. I don't understand. I can take everything, put her toys there, do everything, and I put a scissor there. If I close my eyes, before I know it, she'll be on the scissor. She will leave everything else that has been prepared for her, and she will end up in the thing that can potentially harm her. Are you understanding? So every Saturday here, when we have outreach, I will remain behind praying. And because the children, they trouble the parents as they are doing outreach, so I'll watch the children. And I mean, they can play everywhere in the church, everywhere. But there's only one law. Don't go outside the gate. How many laws? What? Is it a difficult law? If I close my eyes, I will see them outside the gate. The carnal mind that is not governed by the word of God feels constricted by the word of God. It feels like this is too much for me. I mean, even though I have this whole space, but I long for outside the gate. The carnal mind longs for it.
Amen.
I feel like you don't like my message. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So for you to be able to be aware that God is leading you, God only leads those who remain subject to his word.
Amen.
You must live your life as it is governed by the word of God.
Amen.
If you continue to be governed by the word of God and you stay within the bounds of the word of God, God will lead you. Whether you feel that he's leading you or whether you don't feel it, he will lead you because you are under his jurisdiction. You are under his care. You are under his control. He's obligated to lead you. He must lead you because you are living under his word. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You must live in the boundary of God's word.
Amen.
Sometimes it is difficult to live under such, but you must if you want your life to be like Joseph. Yes, Joseph went through many things that we don't want to go through, but you look at the end was good.
Amen.
I don't want to be a type of person who is celebrated now, who gets everything they want now, but by the end of my life, I am nothing. That's why one of the things I don't like, you know, is being involved in the entertainment business. You know, the acting, music, and all these types of things. Especially in the worldly sense. I don't like it. Because today you are the biggest star. You can't even go to the mall because when people see you, they will surround you. They want to take selfies with you. But after 2 years, your song is no longer famous. Nobody wants to book you anymore because your song is no longer famous. Now when you walk in the mall, they say, he looks like. And then they just continue walking. I want to go up and stay up. I don't want to go up and then go down. One day I saw there's a guy called Mama Babuti or Mahamamuti, something like that. Mapabuti. Yeah. While I was still working those days, my colleagues and I, we went to get some lunch. And as we were getting some lunch, we saw him there. He just looked I even felt better than him. We were just, this is the guy I was seeing on TV.
Amen.
Eesh. I felt so sad. Hallelujah. So we need to be under the control of God's word. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You'll find some Christians. They feel a pain, I don't know where, here. And the pain is not getting away, going away. And the pain is getting worse. And getting worse. And getting worse. Before you know it, they've called a sangoma. Now, they've just overstepped the boundary. Even if you get better, you've gone out of the boundary of God's law. He's no longer obligated to continue leading you.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, areas that must come under the jurisdiction of God's word in your life. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. I've got 8 points. I'm not going to preach them long. I'll just share them quickly with you. Hallelujah. Areas that must come under the jurisdiction of God's word in your life. Number one, your temperament and character. Your temperament and character. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Quickly. I said your what? Temperament and character. Galatians 5, verse 22. I need you to read fast, sister, because I don't want to go beyond my time. Galatians 5, verse 22. Are you winning?
But the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness.
23.
Okay. Humility and self-control. There is no law against such things as this.
Read it again, 22 and 23.
But the Spirit produces love.
Love.
Joy.
Joy.
Peace.
Peace.
Patience.
Patience.
Kindness.
Kindness.
Goodness.
Goodness.
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
Humility.
Humility.
And self-control.
And self-control.
There is no law against such things as this.
Hallelujah. These are things that are, you know, influence your character and your temperament. You can't be a Christian and be a hothead. Uncontrollable. When you are angry, your anger nobody can control. Then you are not living within the bounds of God's word.
Amen.
There are people who say to me, you know, Pastor, this is how I am. Then you must change.
Amen.
If how you are is not controllable, it's wrong.
Amen.
There are people who can kill you when they are angry.
Yeah.
There are people who can take a boiling pot of water and throw it on you while it's boiling because they are angry. Heaven. Your anger is uncontrollable and is wrong.
Amen.
And wicked. You have to allow God's word to change you.
Amen.
Some of you struggle to love. You can't love. You always suspect everyone. Everyone is a suspect. You are laughing, but there are people like that. Oh, I feel for you if you marry someone like that. One time I was in a taxi and a guy called, I don't know whether it was his wife or girlfriend.
Amen.
And I said, hello, hi, how are you? I'm fine. Hey! What is that noise I hear? Heaven. Where are you? No, but I'm home. But I'm hearing voices. Who are those people around you? You can't do nothing. When you're around someone who cannot love, they don't trust anything, they don't trust anyone. So when you come into Christ, you must allow the word of God to work on you.
Amen.
To the point where you become a loving person.
Amen.
You can love unconditionally.
Your
love, some people's love is like, if I do something for you, you must do something for me.
Amen.
That's not love. One way you can check love is look at the love you have for your child. You see, your child, you keep giving. You keep giving. You keep giving. You keep giving. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So your temperament, you know, there's a couple that is marrying in our church in December. So they've started our marriage school. And I was teaching them about temperaments. We've got four of them. Phlegmatic, sanguine, melancholic, and choleric. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are one of these things. Even though it sounds like Chinese, but you are one of them. And let's take, for example, a choleric. A choleric is someone, you know, they've got positives, they've got negatives. One of the positives about being a choleric is a go-getter. Cholerics most of the time end up owning their own businesses and companies. Most of the time they are managers or whatever because they just have that thing. They chase life and they get it.
Amen.
They are hard people. They will get it no matter what. Do you understand?
Amen.
But as well as that is, they've also got some weaknesses. For example, if you marry a choleric, cholerics are not emotional people. Normally, when you engage with them in an emotional level, they don't get it. It's like, why are you even worried about that nonsense, man? That time you need somebody to say, it's okay, don't worry, man. Even though it sounds like nonsense, but they must say, it will be okay, don't worry. These things happen. Cholerics don't have that in them. Do you understand? So even though you're a choleric and there are some negatives in your life with regards to your temperament, you have to work on them so that you become a nice person, a loving person. Am I talking to somebody? So if your character is foul, it must not be foul forever. It must change. You must become a good person. You must become a nice person.
Amen.
You must become a loving person.
Amen.
One of the things that are there is self-control. There are people who don't have self-control. One day, a certain couple came to the pastor. They were not married. And the sister was now pregnant. And so the pastor asked, "What happened?" And the sister said, "Oh, pastor, all I wanted was a hug." All I wanted was a hug, you know, just a hug. Before I know it now, there's something in the stomach. Hey. Someone say self-control. It's bambe. You have the power of self-control, especially as a child of God. The Bible says the fruits of the Spirit, in other words, the Spirit of God that is in you, has empowered you to be able to have self-control. That's why I said the other day, it's easy to live sin, to leave sin. Very easy. Very ish. Number two, things that have to come under the jurisdiction of God's word. Your body. Someone say your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. Sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 27.
1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 27. Mm-hmm. Now I strike a blow to my body and the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize.
Hallelujah. I hear some Bibles turning. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 27. Is that the only version you have available to you? Very soon, God willing, we are going to have a projector projecting the scriptures. Do you understand? It's already there. We are just waiting for some people who promised me that they're going to do a little stand. We are still waiting. As soon as that stand comes, we will start projecting. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Amen. I harden my body with blows and bring it under complete control to keep myself from being disqualified after having called others to the contest.
Hallelujah. So Paul here says that he keeps his body as a slave to him. And he's talking as a preacher, saying, lest after I have preached to others, I myself get disqualified. How many stories have you heard of pastors doing amazing things, and amazing in the negative sense? Because none of us are exempt from doing wrong things. You can find me preaching like this, and tomorrow you say, "Eish, you go to go smoke house," and you find a whole pastor. The whole pastor. In the night, in the evening. So the Bible says to avoid such things, we have to put our bodies under subjection. The body mustn't control me. I must control the body. Amen. This amen must be louder than that. Amen. I must control my own body. Amen. Not that my body must control me. So I tell my body when I want to sleep. Amen. I tell my body when I want to wake up. Amen. I tell my body when I want to do other things. It doesn't just under out of control like that. You know, one of the things about children, you know, we put napkins on children. Why do we do that? Because anytime is tea time. Anytime you can be in a nice shop doing nice things there, and suddenly the child says, "Papa," that's if they can talk. If they can't talk, you'll just hear by the smell, you just what's going on here? But as the child grows, they get control over their body. And now they end up deciding when can they go and when they cannot go. Someone who remains a baby Christian, the body is controlling. But the more you grow spiritually, you get to a point where you are controlling your body and not that your body is controlling you. So where the word of God, where if you want God to continue leading you, you have to have your body under control. As we could see clearly with Joseph, he was in control of his body. His body was not leading him. He was leading his body.
Amen.
Am I preaching or is this? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ask your neighbor, say, who's controlling your body? Hey. Because of time, let me move on. Ah, but we must read the scripture. Go to same Galatians chapter 5, read verse 19. Quickly. Galatians 5 from verse 19. I just want to show you what happens when your body is not under control. Galatians 5 verse 19, I think to 20 or 21.
Galatians chapter 5 verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
What human nature does is quite plain. It shows itself in immoral, filthy and indecent actions.
Immoral, filthy and indecent. You know, today life is so bad. Eh? Can you see this chair? Huh? You see the chair? Let's say you want to sell the chair. All you have to do to sell the chair is say, look at this chair. Very strong. You can sit on it. You won't fall. And people will buy. But come and see today. A naked lady is going to come and say, to sell a chair. We don't need a naked lady to. Only wearing panties and bra. Why? I was going to say, why?
Marketing.
To sell a chair. What a shock. Or a cow. Anything on TV these days is naked. Someone must be naked. If the person is not naked, we can't sell it. And now the language is foul. For the music to be nice, we must swear. If we don't swear, it's not nice. Why? Who said that? Who made that rule? It's because now everyone is governed by the flesh. Immoral, read it again.
What human nature does is quite plain. It shows itself in immoral, filthy, and indecent actions.
Immoral, filthy, and indecent action. When we watch movies, why do they have to do the whole thing? All they can do is that, and they went to sleep. We will get the picture. We will know. But now they have to now go take us to the bedroom. Why? Ask your neighbor, say, why? Why? You are sitting there with your children, and now they are going to, now you have to look for the remote. Hey! Remote! You have to look for it, because if your child is like mine, it's like, daddy, what are they doing? Now you have to answer questions. There's no need. Tell your neighbor, there's no need. But now even married people, now when people who are married, because they want to do what they see in the movies, those things are not real. Continue reading before we go too far.
In worship of idols and witchcraft.
Worshipping idols and witchcraft, yes.
People become enemies and they fight.
Mm-hmm.
They become jealous.
People become enemies and they fight. You must be embarrassed as a Christian you are fighting. You come with a gunga like this. So what happened? You're a fool. As a Christian, you are fighting.
They become jealous.
Hey, wait. Why is she in a hurry like this? A Christian fighting with your fist. You know, some of you here, you are Christians, but when you get angry, the things you say, a whole Christian, the things that come out of your mouth, You must be embarrassed. You've just gone outside of the bound of God. God cannot lead you anymore just because you can't control what comes out of your mouth. Who said you have to swear to get your point? Who said that? When I used to work, you know, because they knew that you don't just say anything around me. When my boss was angry or when anyone was angry and they just vomit, they say, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to say that. You can't just be your mouth like that. And some of you, even your children, the swear words you say to your children when you are angry. What child are you raising? And the minute your child starts swearing, you want to become a Rambo in the house. But they learned it from you. Because you are angry, you can't control your mouth. Tell your neighbor, from today, control your mouth. Please tell them they can't hear you. Control your mouth. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Continue. These are all, if your flesh is leading you, your body is leading you. These are the things that people do when their body is leading them. Yes. Are you finished?
They become jealous, angry, and ambitious. Mm-hmm. They separate into parties and groups. They are envious, get drunk, have orgies, and do other things like this.
My God.
I warn you now, so I have before. Those who do these things will not possess the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want to go too deep. There's something called monkeypox now. Have you heard of it? You'll be surprised how you get the thing. Huh? How? Let's not go there. We are in church. No, read Google monkeypox, how to get monkeypox. Hallelujah. Number three, I must go a bit faster than what I'm going. Relationships. Your relationships must come under the jurisdiction of God's word or God's law. As a child of God, you can't just be in love with anybody. At the back, are you still here? You've gone home. I said, as a child of God, you can't just be in love with anybody. Are you understanding what I'm saying? First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. If you are there, just read. I want to move faster.
Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character.
Bad company does what? Corrupts good character. The one we just spoke about on point number one. You can't just be around anybody. You can't. All your friends are drunkards. You are almost about to be a drunkard yourself. All your friends are doing drugs. You are going to do drugs. All your friends are criminals. You are going to be a thief very soon. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
Yeah. None of your friends are married, but they all have girlfriends and they all have children, but they are not married. None of them. I don't have one friend who is not married. What are we going to discuss? No, it's true. What are we going to discuss? If I am not careful, I'm going to stop liking my wife. If I'm not careful, I'm going to say, my wife, I can't even breathe, you are everywhere. Because I'm being influenced by one person who is not married. When I hang around married people, then I like the fact that I'm married. Then I love my wife even more. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
So your relationships must be governed by the word of God. You can't just be friends with anybody. You can't just fall in love with anybody. It's wrong. There are some people, when they fall in love, we don't see them in church anymore. It's a sign that that relationship is wrong.
Amen.
I knew only a few people, only about three people said amen. I say, it's a sign. Can you hear me?
Amen.
That relationship is wrong.
Amen.
Why is it taking away from the house of God? Why? Ask yourself. You are a brother who loves God. You carry chairs. Can you see these chairs? You see a brother carrying them. In the morning, brings them to church, puts them. In the afternoon, takes them back. Then a foolish sister comes about.
Yeah. That one.
Now all of a sudden, we've got nobody carrying our chairs anymore. You'll see Mom Ruthie coming to carry a chair. How? I said, she's carrying a chair because her brother is in love. There is something wrong with that love. Hey. Or a sister is in love. Because Johnny Bravo has come to the picture with six packs. Am I saying something wrong? So your relationships, the people around you, must be people who themselves are governed by the word of God. This is very important. There's a saying in the world, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Or I'll show you who you are, yes. Are you understanding? It's so simple. You just need to shift yourself from these people. Go to, I think it's chapter 6, 1 Corinthians, or 2nd rather. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 14.
Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?
Mm-hmm.
What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever?
Read up to verse 18.
What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord.
Therefore, come out from them and be separate. This is advice from our God. So don't yoke yourself. In other words, don't join yourself with an unbeliever. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
I often say that, you know, in marriage you even see pastors divorcing. And you have the boldness, the liver, to go and fall in love with an unbeliever. I respect you. You are stronger than me. When you see pastors divorcing, pastors don't just marry, most pastors marry people who love God. Do you understand what I mean? And you still see some pastors divorcing. Then you go for the unbeliever. Ah, yo, yo. I say, wow, I like that one. Or someone you can clearly see that they're in the process of becoming a sangoma. You can see clearly the whole wrist. Everywhere they are loaded. You can clearly see, but you say, oh, I'm in love. You are a fool, that's what you are. You're not in love. Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever.
Amen.
Do your best to fall in love with another Christian.
Amen.
Who loves God.
Amen.
Who reads the Bible.
Amen.
Who prays.
Amen.
Everyone's looking down. Have I said something wrong? All right, let me move on. You're scaring me. Will you allow God's word to govern your relationships? Do you know that it is for your own good? Do you know? It's for your own good. Number, what are we on? Number four. Five. You must allow God. Your life must come under God's word in this part. Your likes and your desires. In other words, your passions. The things that you love. They must be governed by God's word. Hallelujah. So it feels like my volume has gone down a bit. Can you lift it up? When you get home, read John chapter 2, verse 17, and John chapter 4, verse 34. In John chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "And his disciples remembered that it was written, 'The zeal of thine house had eaten me up.'" So the Lord Jesus had a zeal for the house of God. He had a passion for the house of God. Do you understand? Yeah. So most people, their passion are cars, movies, what have you. So your passions must be governed by the word of God. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Number what? Number five, six, somewhere there. Number six, your faith must be governed by God's word. Someone say, my faith must be governed by God's word. Hallelujah. This is very important. In Exodus chapter 20, from verse 1 to verse 6, the Bible clearly tells us that God says that he's only one God. He's the only God that we must worship.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he says we mustn't worship any other gods.
Amen.
Yeah. So there are some people who say, nah, Pastor, where we grew up, this is what we do. I hear that's what you did when you grew up. But now you're a believer. Now you're a child of God. Now your life, your faith, your beliefs must be governed by the word of God. Hallelujah. If you want God to continue leading your life like he led Joseph's life, then what you believe must be governed by God's word. One lady said to me, Pastor, where I grew up from, we have a hut in our home, in the yard. What is a hut? Ndumba. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? It says that in that ndumba, that hut, there will be chickens there. So before you go, you have to go there and say, I'm going to town. Then you go to town. When you come back, you have to, before you can go in the house, you go back to the hut. I'm back home. Eish. What is that? Ask your neighbor, say, where is that in the Bible? Where I haven't seen that in the Bible. But you see, what you'll notice is that when people get into problems and into trials, you know, because that's what they saw their parents doing, that they feel that maybe it's because I have stopped doing that. Let me go back to that thing. Listen, your word must be governed by the word of God. Your life must be governed by the word of God. Our God, there's no heart that we go to. You just pray. It's your faith in Christ that matters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I hear a lot of amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Pastor, but my father is a sangoma, so what must I do? He's a sangoma, but you cannot do the sangoma things anymore. When they call this ritual of sangoma rituals, I don't know what they do. You just say, excuse me, but... And if you are too young, that, I mean, you don't have any choice. You say, I will come, but I will not participate. And when they say, why? Ah, now you're thinking, you say, just bring them to the Bible. All the scriptures I'm showing you, just show them. Exodus 20, verse 1 to verse 6. And there are many more. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Very important what I'm saying. If you want God to guide your life like he did Joseph's life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Will you believe in God?
Amen.
And God only?
Amen.
Will you believe in God's word? And his word only.
Amen.
Put your hands together for Jesus. I heard that one of my church members, I mean, the person has not been in church for a while. I hear now the person is a sangoma. I couldn't believe it. Sangoma.
Sangoma. How? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can't do that. God and Him only. His word and His word only. His ways and His ways only. No matter how rough life, you didn't see Joseph in the hole and say, hey, which other God is there? Maybe He can help me. He stuck to that one God. And over time, that one God showed Himself faithful. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Number 7. Your finances must be governed by God's word. Your finances. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Hallelujah. So your money must be governed by God's word. Hello, amen. You are saying amen so nicely now that I'm talking about money. Your money must be governed or must come under subjection to God's word. For example, God's word says, give and it shall be given unto you. It's His word. It's in His word that we must pay tithes. It's in His word. Whether you like it or you don't like it, it's in His word. God is currently teaching me about how blessings work. Do you understand? And what I've discovered is that for us to be blessed, there are many things that we have to do. When we do certain things, it will cause God to open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon our lives. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to give. And more specifically, give towards the work of God and the house of God. Because you can feel that I'm a giver, but all you're giving has no relation to God's word and God's work and God's house. So our finances must also come under subjection to God's law. When I was getting married, somebody came to me and sat down, humbled himself to the last number, sat down on the floor and said to me, my son, a wedding is a wedding because people enjoy themselves. And for people to enjoy themselves, there must be alcohol. Out of respect, I just said, But in my heart, I said, my money will never be spent on alcohol. It can't happen. My money, on alcohol. I said, never. If you want to drink, use your own money. Hey! I've actually done a graph in the past where I just checked, where does my money go? Some of you don't know, you get paid, but before we can say amen, all the money is gone and you don't know what happened. So I wanted to do an investigation at what do I spend my money on? And I saw that a large portion went to my God. Does any of your money go to your God? Is your money under the governance of God and God's word? Or does your money buy alcohol? Does your money buy all sorts of things that do not do anything for your faith? Hello? Number 8. Your priorities must be governed by the word of God. Your priorities must be governed by the word of God. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Then all these things will be given unto you. Many of us, we do not prioritize God. We do not prioritize anything that is God related. We don't. We cheaply prioritize everything above God's word. Cheaply. Cheaply. If somebody, you are getting ready to go to church,
You're getting ready. And somebody comes to visit you. That's the end. You don't go to church. You sit down with the person. Try. You have just prioritized that person above God. You have just prioritized that person above God's word. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
Many people prioritize money above God and above God's word, to the point that they can kill for it because their life is not governed by the word of God. So you have to really think about what comes first in my life. What do I prioritize? Me, I prioritize God even above my wife and my daughter. I love them dearly, but God is higher than them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you must allow your priorities. If my wife wakes up tomorrow and says, I don't feel the love anymore. Let's go. You go your way, I go my way. It will be painful, but it is not something that will cause me to leave God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because I love God more than I love my marriage. I love God more than I love anything. Many people, when they are going through things, when I call to find out, ish, Pastor, the things are happening. You've just prioritized those things above God. You prioritize problems above God. You don't have faith that God can solve your problems. You don't have faith that God can heal you. You must prioritize God in all things. Can I hear an amen like I'm in church? Say, neighbor, where are your priorities? Some of you prioritize Johnny Bravo and Susan. If Johnny can phone now, see, I'm preaching, can you see? You will leave everything and you'll be gone. Mom Ruth, let me preach around here. They're just ignoring me. They'll just disappear. Because Johnny has phoned. Or Susan has phoned. Susan. Hey, it's like we mate. Whatever I got. Gone. Disappeared. Hey, my God. Jesus must give me that anointing of beating people with a belt. We need it in the church. You know, one day Mom Ruthie showed me a video of a pastor who was beating people in the church. I think it was like a bishop beating pastors who are about to go to ministry. And I think he wanted to show them how difficult ministry is. And so he was just giving them an example. So when I saw that thing, I said, this pastor. But now when I, now that I've pastored a little bit, now I said, Pastor, I think what you were doing, we, all of us must catch that anointing. Start beating people. Hallelujah. It's amazing how Christians just forget God. Just like that. It's amazing. And the last one for today. What we have to subject is how we make it in life or how we succeed. It's very important. How we do it. Do you understand? There's many ways to prosper. There's many ways to succeed. But not all of them are good. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. In the book of Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, it talks about the word of God. It says, read it for me quickly. It has escaped my mind. This book of the law, thou shalt meditate thereon day and night. And then it says what?
Be sure that the book of the law is always read in your worship.
Uh-huh.
Study it day and night. And make sure that you obey everything.
Study it when?
Day and night.
Once a week. Hello? Study it once a month. Some of you don't even bring it to church as we are talking. Study it when? I can't hear you. Day and night, yes?
And make sure that you obey everything written in it.
And make sure that you obey everything. Not some things. Not most things. Everything. Everything in God's word. God's word. Obey.
Amen.
Obey.
Then you will be prosperous and successful.
Only then you will be prosperous and successful. Based on your obedience to God's word. And based on your meditations on God's word. Hallelujah. For example, let's say you want your marriage to be successful. There is a way that you can read the Bible and allow the Spirit to minister to you concerning your marriage. There's also another way where you go to Mam Sebelet. Say, give me something for my husband. And then you take something. Then when your husband, when you are making food, you are sprinkling.
Amen.
When the guy is eating, say, oh, my wife, today you have... He doesn't know that you are busy bewitching him. There is a way. And we have to do it God's way. On how to prosper in anything in life. Amen. One day my wife told me of a certain sister that she knows. And she told me the sister is married with the husband. Very nice family. They have children. They have a nice house, nice cars. Do you see? Beautiful. Everything that we all desire. Then she said, do you know that this sister went somewhere to consult and is working this brother, sprinkling something? In my heart, I'm saying, as you are looking at lovely, lovely family, you find that the brother is not alive. He's dead. He doesn't know what he's doing. The day he wakes up, he says, where am I? Who are you? Who are these kids? Because it's not him. He's being worked. Some things are sad, I tell you. Wicked. How can you be happy that, ooh, I'm in love with my husband, but you know that you've gone somewhere. You know that you are working him or her. Any spell against your life is broken now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Anything they put on your food, you will eat. It will rather make you healthier.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Those who are trying to bewitch you, they will fight against each other. Say, did you do it? Did you throw it in the food? Did you do it correctly? Why is nothing happening to them? That shall be your story in Jesus' name. From today, you are unbewitchable. Those who bewitch you, the same bewitchment will fall upon them. Those who bewitch you, the same bewitchment will fall upon their children. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Put your hands together for the Lord. Let's rise to our feet. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know today I went a bit longer than usual. But what I want you to understand is that, you see, God didn't just lead Joseph for Mahala, so to say. Joseph had to submit himself under God's law. He lived his life under the bounds of God's law. His money, his finances, his relationship, his body, all the things that I showed you. He made sure that I don't overstep God's word concerning these areas of my life. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Yeah. There are some things that are difficult that we have to do. Some of us, we have to leave certain people. Just so that God can take over. So that he can lead. Some of us, all our money ends at Macam's and all these shops. You are just living to be paying these shops. Some of you can't even answer a phone call anymore because Edgar wants their money. You're just living. I mean, because you see, money, you can say, is life. Because life is time. So most of our time you spend making the money. So when you spend the money, it shows what's important to you. Most of our money is finishing in shops. Amen. Shops. Some of us, our money is finishing in alcohol. Obed was telling me the other day that there were some people that who live around him. I think it was Obed telling me. As far as he knows, these guys are unemployed, but they are always drunk. So, it's a mystery. Unemployed, but always drunk. It means any cent they get alcohol. Any cent they get, alcohol. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We have to bring these things under the control of God's word. How we spend our money, the people around us, you know, how we choose to succeed in life. Everything must be in the jurisdiction of God's word. And then as we live like that, then God by force is obligated to lead our lives. Are you listening to me? I want you to talk to your God and ask him for grace. I don't know which area is out of bounds. Some of us, the people we're in love with are not good for us. Some of us, the people who are our friends are not good for us. Some of us, you know, the things that we call fun and is not good for us. Some of us, the way we spend our money, our priorities and whatsoever is not good for us. Just ask God for the grace. Ask God for the grace and ask for his help that your life will be within the bounds of God's word. If you understand what I'm saying, open your mouth and begin praying. Talk to your God.
I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in
the
resurrection of the dead. I believe in the
resurrection. Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.